magical place we could go. So close your eyes and make a wish for the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Dutch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends Eli, Jared, and Mike most of the time. Come on, let's go to the Dutch Arcade Show.
Hey guys, what is up? And welcome to the Dutch Arcade Show, episode number 439. This is the day, episode two of quarantine. Also, potentially very noisy episode because we are replacing our back fence. And so you might hear a saw, you might hear a nail.
Oh, I should also have the caveat of it's storming here. So if there's any thunder, my dogs will flip out for several minutes probably.
So you've got dogs flipping out. I've got a dog flipping out because I think my parents just showed up, and that's another the other potential noisy thing happening. And then I got a baby and a UFO with wheels that makes a whole lot of racket when he runs around the hardwood floors. So, yeah, this is the not just potential, the actually noisy episode. Yeah,
it'll be a miracle if it's not noisy.
So anyway, thanks so much for joining us, though. I'm guessing a lot of you are also confined to your homes as we enter into yet another weird week of dodging this virus thingy. And I was just telling Eli before the show that California has just now declared, mandated stay home. Businesses that aren't, you know, essential need to close, blah, 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 all that stuff. Because up until this point, it was kind of like a strong suggestion that most people were not adhering to. And now it's like, and it's crazy because you look at all the data and there's been so many other countries that have dealt with all this stuff that we have kind of a blueprint of what's happened in various situations and kind of the tactics that have worked and those that haven't worked as well and whatever.
Yeah.
And like, really the thing is shut it all down, like nail it up tight for a few weeks and assess where you're going and have heavy testing going on too, because that's really important. And that's something we're super lagging on. So,
That's what's crazy about where we're at right now is that everyone in my county is like the stupid ass local Facebook group that everyone's on. They're all like hanging their hats on the fact that it's like, oh, there's nothing to worry about here. There's no cases in Roane County yet. And it's like, okay, well, no reported cases, sure. But like, if right now I had a fever of 100 and whatever and was coughing and was worried, I don't even know where I would go to get tested. Drive into Knoxville, I guess. I don't know.
That's the tricky thing too, is that you can have those symptoms that are like, hey, these are the main symptoms. But at least up until right now, unless you have traveled out of the country or been in contact with someone who's a confirmed case of it, they don't care. They just tell you to stay home, take care of yourself. And so you're like not qualifying for a test yet. And they are starting to relax those requirements, because we actually have two friends that needed to get tested because they were super sick. And I think actually it takes 2 days to get the results. I think today they'll find out if they actually had it or if they're just sick. It's our friend and her dad. But, so it's been kind of shitty. That's what happened with Tony Hawk on Twitter. He's talking about that. He's like, I am sick as hell, and they won't give me the test to find out if I have this thing or not because I don't qualify. Yeah. And I'm like, well, that's Tony Hawk. Like, that's a pretty main celebrity right there.
Yeah.
And you're not going to test that guy. So, but I do think that we're getting more tests in, and it's becoming more available, which is good. I mean, like I said, we have to do that along with really clamping down on, you know, interacting with each other and stuff like that. And it's hard because we had to run in the grocery store and grab some things or whatever. I mean, we are pretty well stocked now for a good while. But then we also had to go to Target to get a couple of random things yesterday, I think. So, starting today. And then I'm also, you know, we're building the fence and we're hoping our neighbors put that fence back up. And, I don't know where they've been. They've been going out making trips to the hardware store to get the wood or, you know, whatever. And so it's like one of those things that after today, our fence should be up by the end of the day. And then we're not going to like leave the house for a solid week just to be sure. Because I feel like by then you should know if you're sick and have this thing, you'll know it by then.
Yeah.
The trickiest part about all of this is that it takes so long for the symptoms to show up. That's kind of been the main reason this has become such a problem, mm-hmm. is because you can feel fine for 3 or 4 or 5 days and run around and give this to a whole bunch of people, not realizing it before you even start to feel sick. So,
right. Yeah. That's what
it's crazy.
It's a wild situation. Like, honestly, it's kind of baffling to look back at like just the timeline of like the last month. Like, you could probably even just like go back and listen to the start of the last like 4 podcasts, which I'm sure are like, yeah, I don't know, it seems excessive, but you know, I guess whatever, they're canceling GDC, to like, oh wow, okay, well, we're like ordered to stay in our house now, and everything else. How are the stores by you though? Are they cleaned out?
Mostly, yeah, especially with like dry goods, frozen stuff, toilet paper, for whatever reason people are stocking up on that. So yeah, I don't know. It's we've been able to scrounge up some good things to throw in our chest freezer and put on our shelves, and some weird canned stuff. And but it's weird though. You like, we went to get a loaf of bread, and the only bread they have is Texas toast. And so, like, you know, if you want to make a sandwich, it's like 5 inches thick or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I mean, hey, it's bread. And then we just learned that you can freeze milk. I don't know why we didn't realize that before, because we're freezing breast milk for the last 10 months. But so, yeah, I wish we would have brought an extra gallon of milk or something to freeze, because I'm sure we'll be out of that soon. So,
yeah, I've always been kind of a weirdo prepper guy. Like, my dad was always like that, you know, just because we grew up in like super rural Illinois, you know, where like when I was growing up, it was like not abnormal to like lose power for a couple of days kind of thing. Cause we were out really remote farm, all this stuff. So we always just had like a deep pantry and all that kind of stuff. And I just kind of grew up with that, and always did that myself and stuff. And like, yeah, when I, when this stuff first started, like when they first started talking about it in China, I was like, let's just go to the store and just buy a bunch of shit like that we use that is shelf stable. And like, if this turns out to be nothing, whatever, we got stuff in our pantry. We don't need to shop for a while. Like, if it is something, like, we'll be really happy. And it's been really wild how, and I thought I was just being crazy. I was like, I don't know, man. Like, this feels weird to me, but let's go spend a couple $100 at the store, just, you know, to not worry about it. Mm-hmm. And then, like, sure enough, like, and it's wild going to Walmart now and seeing like no rice, no beans, no bread, no mac and cheese, no pasta. Like, if you want canned stuff, last time I was there, it was like weird, like chili and like stuff you would never buy, you know?
Right.
But what's been kind of frustrating for us is that the, like, so we moved down to Tennessee almost a little over a month ago now. And we needed to switch our, say, so I have Aetna health insurance. And when we were up in Chicago, I called him. I was like, hey, we're thinking of moving. Like, I just want to see like what's involved with shifting our policy down to a different state or whatever. And of course, the person I talked to on the phone was like, oh yeah, it's no big deal. Like, we just change it. Like, you go from the Midwest policy to Tennessee policy. Your coverage is basically the same.
And it's, she looked at it, she's no
like, oh, actually it's kind of a little bit cheaper every month for you. Cool. Like, and I was like, oh, fucking great. Amazing. Like, and I was like, we don't have anything to worry about. Like, everything just transfers over. And she's like, oh yeah, you'll be fine. Which of course is not the fucking case. Yeah. Like, so Lindsay has, my girlfriend Lindsay has all these like chronic migraine problems and takes this like cocktail of migraine drugs to manage them, you know? And, she's like running out of everything.
Yeah.
And, what we've found is that when you do this like regional transfer, like region to region transfer of your insurance, like, all your like referrals are no longer valid. All your like doctor authorizations for refills and stuff are no longer valid. And like all this other crazy shit. So like, she's needed to basically start from ground zero with seeing like the, you know, general care provider that then refers her to a neurologist who's booked out weeks and like all this crap to get like refills. So it's been annoying, because like, I've wanted to do like the whole like lockdown thing where it's like, let's not leave the house for 2 weeks thing. Like, we have everything we need. Like, but she has to like, go to the doctor like every couple days to like get these pills she needs.
Yeah.
And it's just been like crazy that this is the situation that we're in, when it's like, she's taken these for years.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's just absolutely bonkers. But so we've been exposed to the store probably way more than we should be. And it's been really crazy watching this all unfold. Like it is, like, so I guess like 3 weeks ago, you know, it was like, there were some people panic shopping, but it wasn't like super crazy. And then like the next week it was like, okay, there's a lot more people doing this now. And then like, we went to get refills for her, either yesterday or the day before. And it was like, Walmart was like cleared out. It was crazy. I've never seen that before in my life.
So. Yeah, I mean, it was really sucky because in the beginning, everyone was like, this thing's no big deal, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, man, if we would have taken it seriously then, we would not be where we're at now. And if we still don't take it seriously, it's just going to get worse. It just really sucks. Really miss seeing people.
Yeah, I don't know. So I hope this all blows over. I hope people, because like if everyone buckles down and takes it seriously for a couple of weeks, like it will be vastly mitigated, right?
Yeah.
Versus like everyone here's like, oh, no big deal. Like we don't have no virus here and all this stuff. It's like, God, that's not how this works, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. A lot of people still really aren't taking it seriously. So.
Yeah. Like some friends we'll of mine see. Live up in the Chicago suburbs where my old house is. We're talking about like how like they haven't left their house for a week and thought everyone was doing the same. Then they like went out and it was like any other day.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. You see pictures posted online all over the place of, you know, bars being shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell are you guys doing?
Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. But I don't know.
Anyway, starting today, I'm going to try and not leave the house whatsoever. I mean, not leave the house and go for walks, take the dog for walks, stuff like that. Like, you should get out, but not go and interact with anybody, not go to the store if we don't absolutely have to, and all that good stuff. And I don't know. See what happens.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, the good news is, like, Animal Crossing came out today. Bunch of good games to play.
True. I'm actually not mad at that at all. If I'd be stuck inside for a week or two or more, I got a healthy backlog. And then, you know, all sorts of companies, too many to really keep track of, have been making their games super cheap or free because of this whole thing too. Not just on mobile, but like tons of crazy good Switch games are on sale right now. Tons of desktop PC games are having similar sales, and GOG and stuff like that. So no shortage of things to occupy your time. So yeah, hopefully everybody does take this seriously and just kind of isolates for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, because I mean, like, if you look at so the one glimmer of hope with this is that, like, if you well, not the one, but, you know, a bright glimmer of hope with this is that, like, China's, like, over it right now. You know, they're, like...
Yeah, they're getting back to normal, and their cases are no longer being reported new cases, which I think is a huge thing.
But the problem is, like, China, like, buckled the fuck down, like, the entire country did, and solved the problem.
Yeah.
And, like, I just don't think that we're going to be able to get that done in the United States.
I don't think so either, and it's, like, interesting because I've seen people, you know, from China talking about how it was like a point of pride. It was like this patriotic thing of like, we are isolating whatever because we're going to beat this thing. And like, I don't see that happening here at all, where everyone's like, I do what I want. I'll go to the store if I want. I'll go to the restaurants if I want.
Yeah.
And that's just such an American attitude.
Yeah. I mean, like that's what drives me nuts is like the, I don't know, not to get like completely off topic any more than this, but like the anti-intellectualism in the United States is like extremely troubling, you know? And this is just like, this is just like the new flavor of like, you know, anti-vaxxers or like believing minions memes over scientists. And like, it's like, for some, I see that a lot down here. It's like a point of pride that you don't believe scientists.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, okay,
yeah, it'd be cool if it was the other way around.
I don't know.
But anyway, let's move on to normal talk stuff, mobile game talk, I guess we could do.
Sure.
Unless you have any other avenues you want to branch out and do. I do want to talk about Animal Crossing, but we'll get to that one.
I started a sourdough starter 3 days ago. Have you ever done that before?
No, I haven't.
It's pretty easy. You just basically find a jar and you put flour and water in it and just wait for it to do its thing.
I remember we talked about this before. There's that chef show with Jon Favreau or whatever.
Yeah.
They did a new season, and one of them is, he's super into making sourdough bread, and he has his own starter and stuff like that. And they, it's really wild how, like, so much of the smell and flavor and stuff of different types of sourdoughs can change from starter to starter based on like a few basic factors or whatever. And so that I looked like a really fun sort of hobby to get into. So I'll be interested to hear how that comes out. But you should watch that episode because he has a lot of good tips on how to bake it out and stuff like that too.
Okay, yeah, I'll check it out. Yeah, because like right now I'm 3 days in, so I like started it. Mm-hmm. I've been stirring it constantly. It's definitely starting to ferment. And I fed it for the first time today, and it's getting kind of bubbly, mm-hmm. so it's definitely doing something. But but yeah, I was reading what got me into it was reading about how you can really never it would be almost impossible for the same two people to have the same sourdough starter.
Yeah.
Which can have like a huge impact on like the taste of the bread, like the crumb texture and like everything else.
Yeah.
Which I was like, it's like the gotcha mechanic of like baking, basically.
Yeah. It's pretty cool, though. So, I think that's such an interesting thing.
Yeah. I think if I can keep this thing alive for a while, I feel like it'd just be a neat story to be like, oh, mm-hmm. yeah, this is like quarantine sourdough starter that we've COVID had rolling sourdough. For years.
We've actually, we've talked about a few of those things, how it's like, certain things you'll remember were during the like virus, like lockdown or whatever, you know, assuming you we all survived through this and can look back. But to think about how weird things are right now, I feel like that'll always stick out. Same way people lived through the stock market crash or the depression, or, you know, whatever. So anywho, moving on to the stories of the week. Which there aren't a whole lot, to be honest. There's not a ton of news happening in the world of mobile. I wonder why. But they did announce a new Marvel strategy card game called Marvel Duel. NetEase and Marvel are working on this one, and this is going to be like the second game from NetEase and Marvel, who I think they did Marvel Strike Force, if I'm not mistaken, but it's so hard to keep track of all the different Marvel games, so...
Shrug.
I mean, another Marvel game. Didn't we just talk about one last week?
Yeah. You can't, it's like, it must be really cheap to license the Marvel stuff right now with kind of like the cinematic universe sort of.
I guess so. I mean, at least it's NetEase who has like a proven track record and has actually done another Marvel game that's done well or whatever. But, yeah, this is the one we talked about. Let's see. Marvel Future Revolution. So there you go. So that's Netmarble. So Netmarble, NetEase. I think I just confused those two anyway. One of them is Netmarble. The other one is NetEase. Marvel Duel is NetEase. Do we have that straight?
I don't know.
It's the upcoming strategy card game. So NetEase. I think I said Netmarble.
Yeah, no, NetEase made this one. Netmarble made the other one.
Phew. This is very confusing. But anyway, I don't know. This makes sense. If you're going to make, like, so the only footage of it we have so far is what the official account tweeted out. And it looks pretty cool. I mean, it's just a little, whoa.
Can you hear that? Playing
in my ears. It's just a little clip. Or whatever, but I feel like this is a good, I mean, Marvel Universe is a great thing for, like, a card game, right? I mean, you can have 50 billion.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's a bazillion.
Crazy powerful, you know, abilities and crazy environments and stuff like that. Like, it's a good idea to make a big card game out of Marvel.
I mean, like, Injustice and like all those other games have just shown that, like, these comic book IPs are the perfect IP for anything that's like has a collectible mechanic in it.
Hell yeah. So anyway, closed beta is running beginning yesterday, going through next week. There's an official website to sign up if you want to try and get in on that closed beta. Otherwise, it is coming soon, quote unquote soon. So I guess we can check this out whenever it does come out. I don't have any card battling games in my life currently, but I'm also not super into them. So who knows? But I'll give this game a try. It looks pretty cool. Whatever.
Yeah, no, whatever. I'm sure this will find an audience of millions of people that play it, and
we'll
never hear about it again, and it'll just make millions of dollars, and it'll be fine.
Until it gets shut down in a year and a half.
Yeah.
So anyway, speaking of card battling games, Hearthstone had some major news this week, which was actually announced at the Hearthstone Summit last month. I feel like it was about a month ago, maybe January. one of our writers went out to that to check it out, but everything was embargoed until now. Kind of disappointing because it all leaked about a day ahead of time because Polygon posted their story on accident.
Yeah.
And so it was so many big, exciting things, and I feel like that really stole the thunder, and it also made my enthusiasm for posting the story plummet through the floor. So I was like, who even cares now? Like, everybody that follows Hearthstone knows all this stuff right now because the leaked news is just everywhere. And so now we're adhering to this embargo, but all of our news is like, everybody knows all this stuff already. So it's not that big of a deal, yeah. Right?
Yeah, and like the problem with this kind of stuff too is like, as for Blizzard, I don't know how they are now, but like when we first started getting into like the circle of trust when Hearthstone became a thing, like it was a huge deal for them to like even give you a heads up when they were going to like post a blog post update or something about about this. And it was like a really, really big thing. And a lot of people internally like pushing towards like seeding information early and everything else. And like, you know, when you have a story like this, like accidental or not, come out, like it just kind of like fucks, like resets the clock on all that stuff.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
Yeah. It's annoying. And it's like, A, what are you going to do? Are you going to tell Polygon you'll never give them info about Hearthstone again?
I know.
They're going to be fine. You know,
I mean, the other side of this, for Blizzard, you know, like, I mean, there is such a thing as like, there's no such thing, any good press is, or any, I don't know, any press is good, whatever the saying is, you know, there's no such thing as bad press or whatever. So like, the message got out. It was just a little early and kind of boned everyone else and, you know, whatever.
It's just frustrating. And then the other stupid thing is that Hearthstone themselves, Blizzard themselves, and then their internal PR that was handling all this stuff somehow had mixed signals because they did a huge live stream where they basically announced all of these things like several hours before the embargo time on all this stuff. And so they were leaking it early themselves too, which made it really frustrating. And their message to us was like, hey, if you have to post things early as they're announced, I mean, go ahead. Don't worry about the embargo, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm not going to sit around and watch your stream to find out when I can post each bit of information or whatever. I just posted it when it was the normal embargo time. But still annoying. I don't know. That's maybe too deep into how the sausage is made. But super frustrating when things like this happen. And that's why I hate stupid things like embargoes in the first place. It's like, I don't know. It feels like an antiquated concept anyway when we have things that are instantly broadcast whatever the hell you want to the whole world at a moment's notice. But anyway, as of the actual news, the Hearthstone news, last year was the year of the dragon. This year is the year of the phoenix. I wonder if there's some hidden meaning behind that, such that they want Hearthstone to rise from the ashes like a phoenix, because it's kind of been in the decline for the last couple of years.
The thing is, like, it's always so hard to tell with these games, like, just because like interest is sort of faded with like the super hardcore people and like streamers and stuff like that. Like, that doesn't necessarily mean that like Hearthstone is not like growing month over month.
No.
Yeah. It's just like people just get,
we
like,
don't know.
The enthusiast crowd just gets bored. But like, you know, GDC talk after GDC talk from people like this will tell you over and over, it's not, the enthusiast crowd is not what pays the bills in gaming. Yeah. You know, it's randos that we'll buy $100 of the packs and play the game for a little bit. And, you know, I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know. It's hard for me to tell because I've never really been into Hearthstone, but, so probably the biggest announcement. So they announced like new campaigns or new expansions or whatever. The one that's coming up is called, what is it called? Ashes of Outland is going to be the next expansion. But interestingly enough, they're actually adding a new class to the game. And I was really surprised to find out this is the first time they've added a class to Hearthstone since it launched. Yeah. And that was, what, 7 years ago, something like that?
Yeah, in World of Warcraft, it took them a real long time to add a new class, too.
Yeah, yeah. And if you think about it, it's not, you can't just throw in a new class and that's it. Like, it takes a lot of care to add something that significant and not screw up the balance of the whole game, like every little tiny corner of the game. Like, you have to be really careful. So I can understand why it can take a long time, but also that is a long time to take. That makes me wonder too, is that another sign of like, we need to spice things up, let's, you know, add a new class or whatever. Who knows? Or maybe that's just their normal timeline.
Yeah, I
But
don't know.
the new class is going to be the Demon Hunter, and it looks pretty rad. And then what else do we have in here? Oh, that's more Demon Hunter stuff. Oh, so they're going to have a new, they're going to implement a new rule where you won't get duplicate cards, which is apparently something people have been asking for a really long time. And getting duplicates has been something that's turned a lot of people off to the game, apparently, too,
Yeah, it's
which I can
annoying.
see.
It's very annoying.
So that's kind of rad to know that every time you'll open a pack, you're going to be getting cards that you don't already have.
Yeah, I think there's a few other digital CCGs that have done the same thing. So it's like they're following in, their footsteps, basically.
I think eventually, once you hit a certain point in a game's lifespan, you kind of have to do something like that, because you can only get duplicates and chase cards you don't have for so long before you get frustrated and give up. So,
You know what I would like to, I mean, I don't know how you'd ever get this done, but it would be interesting to see what a game like Hearthstone would look like if they kind of like adopted the Fortnite play model almost, where it's like, oh, okay, here's your you're the Phoenix season pass, and then you just
right.
like get the cards that come out,
Yeah.
and then the game kind of would shift from, I don't know, but there is a big like collection mechanic to these kind of games, so just suspend that reality for a second, and just look at it as like, and because then it would just be like a raw deck building kind of game, right? Like where you just play like whatever deck you think is going to be the best, and it's not about like who has the best cards. It's about who plays the deck the best, I guess.
I forget. There's a game that either just came out or is about to come out, and I can't think of the name of it, but it's a Hearthstone-like card game or whatever that just comes with all the cards right off the bat, and you have them all, and you build your deck out of them, and everybody has the cards. And then all the in-app purchase stuff is like weird customization things for like your board and your character and your deck, art or whatever. I don't know how that's working out, but that's like the idea of it. It's like, just give everyone every card and then let them build their own decks and devise their strategies differently or whatever, but not hold anything back. That way everyone's on the same playing field, in theory. So that's kind of an interesting idea too. But I know that, I mean, not even Magic or anything works like that.
Well, so
Most games don't work like that,
Magic
so.
can work like that. So there's this format called I don't know if it's you know if it's called a format, but like the thing that you do is called building a cube, and I don't know why it's called that, but it basically amounts to like you kind of like create your own set of cards with like existing cards you own, and you put them in a box, and then like you play with friends, and you can only build, like, it's way more complicated than how I'm explaining it, but like you basically only build decks based on like what's in the cube.
So everyone's using the same base of
So yeah, you're
cards.
like pulling from the same like pool of cards that will, if unless you edit the cube, I guess, but it just stays the same, which I always thought was pretty cool because like so much of Magic the Gathering too is like, oh, all right, yeah, well, let's play your against your $1,000 deck. This is really fun, So yeah, oh, my ham radio is going off again.
Who's hamming you?
So it's the repeater that I'm on does a it's real I'm trying to figure out like the time signature of when it I don't know. It's there's something going on. I'm trying to
Somebody that
figure
knows
out.
ham radio just heard that and is freaking out right now.
Yeah, I'm just trying I'm getting into it in case shit hits fan.
So anyway, just to wrap up our Hearthstone thought, they are also doing a big overhaul on the priest, giving a bunch of new cards, and then also rejiggering some of the existing cards. I think that's about it. And then the new expansion. So lots of crazy stuff in the works with Hearthstone right now, all coming very soon. So definitely check out all the different trailers and stuff for everything. We talked about this last week before, I forget. Teamfight Tactics just released this week on iPhone, only on iPhone.
Let me download this.
Riot's first mobile game, and it's the standalone version of their League of Legends sort of spin-off mode, Teamfight Tactics, which is their version of Auto Chess from Dota. So it's kind of interesting to see. So first of all, I think it's wild that a company like Riot would launch an iPhone only version, and apparently it like technically works on iPads, but it just looks like shit and it is formatted like shit. And you probably wouldn't realistically want to play it on iPad because it's just looks so bad. And they have said they did come out and say ahead of time they're going to take longer with the iPad version, so there's that. But it's like, what was the rush to launch this without an iPad version or, you know, whatever? I feel like that's kind of odd. And then the other weird thing is this isn't formatted for full screen phones, which I feel like isn't even something you're allowed to do nowadays.
What, like
I thought
the iPhone, which iPhone?
like the 10
Oh, yeah.
or 11s, you know, the full screen ones. I was pretty sure you had to have full screen support if you were a brand new game nowadays, but I could be wrong. But anyway, that's just also like kind of like a weird lack of polish thing from a company I would expect would release something really polished. At least it seemed like it was going to be that way. So I know those two factors alone have turned a lot of people off that have been trying the game. And then I think the other factor is that people are kind of getting over auto chess because there's so many of them and none of them really differentiate themselves from each other. They're all just kind of like this game's version of auto chess or that game's version of auto chess or whatever. And so if you're really into League and you really like the auto chess thing, then you're probably really into this. But if you're not, I don't think there's anything here that's going to make you be like, oh my God, I'm way into it. So I don't know. Interesting tactic from Riot to release really what's essentially their first mobile game. So pretty weird. What are you looking up? You have that. I'm fact checking something. Look.
No, I'm trying to log in. What the fuck? My username's already taken? This is bullshit. So in order to log into this Teamfight Tactics, you need to create your create a Riot login, I guess.
Okay. Yeah.
And I
You
so
might
I
have to already have one, right?
Well, I only play League of Legends, so it wasn't making me
That doesn't count as a Riot login.
it wasn't making me switch gears, I guess, until now. So, but anyway, yeah, continue. I'm gonna load this up, and I'll let you know what I
Well,
think of it as a pro League of Legends player.
I don't have a ton more to say about this other than I don't know. It's Teamfight Tactics. It's free. You can check it out if you want. But I don't know. I guess I'm just expecting more from Riot. But I would like to hear from someone like you that's heavy into League, and see like what the experience is like for
Oh,
you
I have to
because
download
maybe.
600 megabytes of shit before I can tell you. So,
Of course. Well, maybe we'll check in on next
yeah,
week. But
check in on me later.
yeah, we've got plenty of time. So anyway, it is out there in the wild though. So go download it and check it out. Unless you have an iPad and care that it looks ugly. Another big game that's coming out on mobile soon is Dead by Daylight, which is the asymmetrical survival horror game that's been super popular on other platforms. Been kind of weird because they had the Identity V came out like a year or two ago. And it was kind of weird because we did like a sponsored story for them for that game. And it turned out to be one of those cases where it was like, I played it so that I could write about it and was like, whoa, this is rad. Like, I've never played anything like this before. And it was like genuinely really fun. So it was like always one of those situations where it's like nice to actually like the thing that you're writing about, you know, as
Yeah, for
a
sure.
paid thing. But anyway, it's that game has done really well on mobile. And then I came to learn through that game about Dead by Daylight and basically that this was like a Dead by Daylight clone, quote unquote clone. But as it turns out, the people that made Identity V actually had help from Behavior Interactive, who makes Dead by Daylight. It is more or less an unofficial Dead by Daylight game, right? Just using different characters and not using the same name or whatever. But using the same gameplay where it's like, you know, there's four survivors and one like murderer, right? And you can either be a survivor or you can be the murderer. If you're the murderer, you just try to kill everyone before they can escape the little area you're in. And if you're a survivor, you're trying to escape the murder. It's like that simple, but it's neat that it's like, you know, that asymmetrical type of multiplayer. But anyway, yeah, so now they actually are making the legit official Dead by Daylight mobile. And it's the same company that's making it. I'm trying to recall what company is, because it was like, oh, NetEase. We were just talking about them. NetEase is who made Identity V. And so they are also the ones that are handling Dead by Daylight mobile. So I feel like only in the world of mobile you get this really weird situation where there's a quote-unquote official clone of a super popular game coming out on mobile, but it's made with the blessing of the actual company that makes the real game, but then it becomes wildly popular being the clone, but then also now the cloners, I don't even like calling them cloners because it's not what they're doing. They worked with the company, but are now making the official version of the original game in the first place for mobile. I don't know. That's just such a wacky,
Yeah, it's a strange dynamic, right?
yeah. But anyway, the game itself, it's been soft launched for a little while, and it seems like it's pretty cool. People seem to like it on touchscreen. It works really well and offers really similar experience to what you'd get on consoles and PC playing Dead by Daylight. So, yeah, that is pretty cool. What's the launch date is April 16th for iOS and Android worldwide. So, that's about 3 weeks away, I think, if I know how to do math. What, 3.5 weeks? So yeah, I will definitely be checking that out because I really liked Identity V, and that's basically the same game. So I'll check out the official one too.
Yeah, well, cool.
This is exciting news. The latest Butterscotch Shenanigans game, Levelhead, it
I
has
feel
an
like we've been
official
talking
release
about
date.
this for years, right?
I thought it was a lot longer, but I looked back, and the first time they showed us this game, remember they showed it to us at GDC, but then officially announced it like a few months later or whatever. This was GDC 2018, so it was like 2 years ago. But it felt like it was a lot longer. But basically, Levelhead is a it was their attempt at making something that's like Super Mario Maker, with a crazy level editor and stuff like that, and a crazy emphasis on people sharing their creations. And they built in this really smart sort of like rating system, and the ability to like, follow creators and stuff like that and give them, rewards or whatever for making cool levels. And it seems to have worked out really well. It was about a year ago that they soft launched on Steam, and we knew for them that this is like a make or break sort of game, right? And if it's a game like Mario Maker, if there's not people out there making levels, then it's gonna tank. Like that's you need that. I mean, yes, there's single player levels and it's all that, but you really, really need to rely on a huge community building up around a certain game and then creating content for potentially forever. And so about a year ago they soft launched on or early access launched on Steam, and it's gone super well. It's done really well. People have really taken to the level editor and made some pretty crazy stuff, similar to how people make crazy stuff in Minecraft, like make a working computer or whatever. Like I've seen people make a calculator in Levelhead, and then people figure out how to make like to play a song by running through the level type stuff, all those sort of things that you see in Minecraft or in Mario Maker, people are starting to do in Levelhead too. So the editor is there. It's got the chops to do really cool stuff. And I think that's a really big part of it. And then, of course, these guys being geniuses, actual geniuses, built their own back-end infrastructure years ago that all of their games tie into, and you have your own login and it saves all your progress and it's all cross-platform. Just a really smart, fundamental sort of thing to build out, hoping that you continue to make games in the future or whatever. And so Levelhead will be no exception. It's going to have seamless progress syncing across all platforms, using their whole backend system or whatever. So I think that's really smart, especially for games where you have a lot of downloaded user content or whatever.
Oh, yeah. The amount of marketing they could probably do to people that they have their email for, too, is probably crazy. Like, they can probably
Yeah, you
email
could send a message
everyone.
out to a
Yeah,
billion users.
everyone that's ever played a butterscotch game ever probably is getting an email about this.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So good for them. But anyway, so aside from that soft launch on Steam, it It is also destined to come out on Xbox, iOS, Android, and Switch, and as well as the Epic Game Store too, and the Windows Store. Let's not forget that.
Yeah, can't forget the
And so
Windows Store.
the official release date is going to be April 30th, so a little over a month away. And then, yeah, very excited about this because, like I said, we've seen it many times over the last couple of years at different events or whatever. And we even were kind of shocked to see them at that Nintendo event 2 years ago in 2018, just before PAX. We went to Nintendo's headquarters and they did like an indie game showcase thing. And they were one of the games there. And I was like, how does it feel to be in the house of Mario Maker with your
Yeah.
Mario Maker,
Right.
like game? But apparently Nintendo was like all for it. They had no problem with it or whatever. I think they really like the cross-platform potential of something like this. So that, yeah, you can have a game on Switch. But if, there's a bunch more people on desktop making levels or something like that, Switch owners will benefit from that or whatever. And you can't really do that with Mario Maker. Mario Maker's one platform only. It's Nintendo's thing. So I think that's maybe the aspect they thought was kind of interesting about it. But this leads into my next story, actually, though. So Levelhead has a release date. It's coming April 30th. But before then, they are doing a mobile beta test. And actually, it's probably too late to even mention this by the time everyone listens to this because the sign-ups stop today. So sorry you missed it. I posted about it. If you read TetraCade, you maybe didn't miss it.
Yeah.
They are doing a mobile beta test for iOS and Android over this weekend. So that's kind of cool. So hopefully the mobile version will get the love and attention it deserves to be working correctly when it does launch. Because similar to what they did with Crashlands, they're launching a lot of platforms all at once. And that can be a very crazy thing. If you have one severe problem on one or whatever, it kind of affects them all. So it's pretty important to make sure you get it right.
Yeah, for sure. No, they yeah, I don't know how they pull off this kind of stuff. Like, it's such a small studio. Like, it seems
Yeah.
like they do like multi-platform launches better than like multi-million dollar companies, which
No kidding. Isn't that
I
wild?
don't really understand how that works,
I
but
don't really understand either. I think it's the lack of red tape to be able to pull stuff like this off, whereas bigger companies have too many flagpoles to run things up or something. But yes, yeah, th three brothers, and then their total studio is six people, so they have three extra employees. That's pretty wild. So, six people doing the crazy things, anyway.
Yeah.
So moving along from that, as we mentioned, Animal Crossing launched on the Switch this week, or today, or last night, if you want to be technical about it. And I don't know, I've only been able to spend a few minutes with it so far.
Yeah, I'm not.
Basically, through the tutorial day and into the next real day is where I'm at. I just got my Nook phone. That's like I'm very early in.
Yeah, I'm the same, basically. Lindsay's been playing it all day long. She took the day off work to play it, which
That's
is
so rad. But has she gotten stopped at like, okay, you're done for the day. See you tomorrow.
sort of.
I
I
feel
mean,
like there's only so much you can do.
she's kind of running out of stuff to do because, like, you build the different, like, so in Animal Cross, well, the last Animal Crossing, I guess. Although I don't remember if the museum and stuff was open from day zero, like when you start your town and stuff, but
I don't think so.
like they kind of like artificially gate stuff by like everyone needs to like come to your island. So like
Yeah.
she's kind of capped out because like the museum takes a day for Blathers to like set up his tent or something like that.
No,
So
that makes sense. They kind of have to do that sort of stuff, so.
yeah. So I've been playing this Teamfight Tactics. I think I broke through tutorial because it's like telling me to play a guy that I do not have on my team and it will not progress past that. So is this still technically a beta?
I don't think they're calling it a beta, but maybe. It certainly seems like a beta.
Yeah, this is confusing.
I'm trying to sign into my Nintendo thingamajig. Oh, I am not a robot. Please touch the pictures with all the crosswalks. Okay. Yay, I didn't think I was a robot. So anyway, back to Animal Crossing, they have a weird sort of cross functionality with the Nintendo Switch Online app, which up until now, I mean, I think this is what you use for voice chat, right? Like, I've never voice chatted
I've
with anybody.
never used
This
it
is, yeah,
once.
this is how you would do it. I think I downloaded and signed into this when it was brand new, but since then I had to relog in. That's what I'm doing right now. But so game specific services. So you can do stuff through with Splatoon or Smash Brothers and now Animal Crossing. but there's a functionality here for the new Animal Crossing that'll this is how you're going to do your voice chatting and stuff, right? Like, I don't think view your best friends in the game, send messages. And that's it.
Yeah,
I
I don't know why you wouldn't just use like Discord and stuff for.
think probably most people do, but then again, I don't know. So here's it's called Nook Link. Oh, I have to go into my Switch to get this all working. Huh. Do I care? Oh, that's the big thing with this is you can scan your custom designs from New Leaf or Happy Home Designer. If you've played those and you have some custom designs you really don't lose, then you can import them into the new game using QR codes, which is you use the app to scan for that. I guess that's probably the bigger feature than seeing the status of your friend list or sending de text messages to them or whatever.
Yeah, so what's been kind of crazy about well, I don't know, this tutorial's fucked, so I guess I can't play this game. But what's been kind of crazy about all the Animal Crossing reviews and stuff is that the people that reviewed it like weren't able to do any of the online stuff or use any of the app stuff or anything else like that, which seems like almost like half the experience. You know, it's like the super social aspect of like, oh, visit my island, let's, you know, like
I
do
don't
some shit
understand how you would
together.
review a game like that without doing all that stuff or without having like ample time. I mean, you'd have to have a custom version of the game that allows you to basically skip days if you want or whatever. You know what I mean? Which I feel like they should probably do stuff like that in the future, build review builds that allow you to do stuff like that. Because otherwise, it's like, hey, check on me in 3 months since when I'm
So
really heavy into this game.
where do you go? You have to go to the Switch app to get the Nook, or is it its own app? I'm sorry, I was trying to
It is
solve the.
Nintendo Switch Online app.
Okay.
And you download that and you sign in with your Nintendo ID or whatever. And it'll let you scan the stuff. Like, I do have a lot of custom images. I didn't play Happy Home Designer, but I played New Leaf a ton and did a lot of custom image stuff in that because I was building roads and things like that in my little world. So, but I don't know if I care enough to like import them in. I might just try it to check it out. Potentially more interesting is the next story, which is also linked to this, is that Animal Crossing Pocket Camp is doing some special crossover stuff with the new Horizons Animal Crossing on Switch, where you can get some rewards in both games if you play both games and link them to your Nintendo account or whatever.
I would love to see like what their user count looks like on Animal Crossing Pocket Camp on today. Like it has to just
Oh,
say like
after this comes
cratered,
out.
right?
Yeah, people that never cared about the mobile version are suddenly downloading it and trying to get the free stuff in New Horizons.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm one of those people. I didn't really like Pocket Camp. I did play it for a little bit, but I didn't, you know, it didn't hold my attention long at all. And so it's been deleted for a very long time. And then yeah, this got me to re-download it and be like, well, free stuff, you know, I guess I want the free stuff. So it apparently you have to get through. See, the cool thing is that I linked, when I was playing Pocket Camp, I linked my account to it and it saves your data. And so all I had to do was download the game again and sign in, and it recovered my data and put me back where I was, which is still admittedly pretty early in the game, but it's like I didn't have to, I was thinking I'd have to go through all the tutorial crap again or
Yeah,
whatever.
to that,
So
yeah.
if you've never played this game at all and you have no save data for it, you will have to do that. Just slog through the tutorial, and then eventually you'll get to a point where you can, connect the two games and unlock items in both games. Pocket Camp people get the Leaf tickets, which are like the premium currency or whatever. But then New Horizons players actually get a couple of special items, And
Oh,
I think they're
really?
staggered out. Yeah, I think they're staggered so that I think this promotional image here, it looks like you get like a special lamppost, a special signpost, a couple of like vehicle models, some sort of fruit cart maybe, and then I think a special outfit. So I think those are like the different items that you'll be able to get by doing this link up thing, which I don't know, that seems worth it. I'm like a give me every item possible type person. So it's probably worth playing through the tutorial and getting to the point that you can unlock this stuff if you're really into it or whatever. And if you're already into Pocket Camp, then it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but anyway, once you've played and finished the tutorial and you get to the part where you can actually design your campsite, that's when you can link your account, and then there will be a button or whatever that says Animal Crossing New Horizons special order plus 50 leaf tickets reward, and you'll click on that to redeem it or whatever, and then it gives you an eShop code. So then you'll hop over to your Switch, throw in the code, and unlock the special items or whatever. But like I said, I think that they mail them to you in game, and I think it's over the course of several days. So I don't think you get everything at once. That's how they hook you. They're gonna make you play Pocket Camp for like a week, and then by the end of that, you might just be like, you know what? I like Pocket Camp. So we'll see.
I'm really surprised that it lets you scan a QR code like from the get-go. Like as in so I'm fiddling around with the Nook Link stuff right now. And the 'cause like every other Animal Crossing before, you had to like upgrade your tailor shop and like do all this other junk before. That is completely unexpected, huh?
That's cool though. I guess they know that a lot of people, especially with a game with Happy Home Designer, heavily designed or built around designing your own stuff like that, they don't want to dick
God.
around and gate people off from it, so.
Animal Crossing Pocket Camp has 344,000 reviews on the App Store.
Damn, really? I guess it does well. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I don't know. I'll unlock the stuff. I don't think I'll continue playing Pocket Camp, especially when you have a brand new full Animal Crossing ready
Yeah.
to be. But
No, for sure.
that is kind of cool. There's a tie-in and there's some exclusive items to unlock. So, woohoo for that!
So how do I? All right, so I'm looking at this right now. I got my shit logged in. I'm logging in.
Pocket
Linked
Camp?
established. Yeah, return to title.
Okay.
All right, so I'm loading my dumb little camp. Oh, I have to download 600 megabytes of shit. Of course, you have to download.
Oh yeah, I had to do that too. Where is here? I'll try and God, my campsite is very
At least it's downloading really fast.
barren. Let's see. Mailbox notices. Let's see. Special items, special furniture and clothing. So you'll go to notices. There's a banner. Tap on that. And then.
Made the mistake of saying that this thing could send me push notifications.
Click here to learn how. Oh, God. And it's taking me to a web page.
It's always amazing to me, like Nintendo, like native stuff on the Switch, like the user experience is always so good. Like they couldn't, like Animal Crossing on the Switch, like could not be easier as far as like how stuff works. It's all super intuitive, and then you get like into the mobile games, and it's like this weird haphazard, like flipping back and forth between like the game and web browsers and like different accounts and all this other crazy shit.
Oh, okay.
All right, so I guess patching. I don't. Oh, here we go. All right, so I'm on my. I got my login bonus. I'm in.
Okay, so
Nook's
actually back
office
out of all
table.
this stuff, don't listen to what I just said. Go to your little menu in the corner, and then you actually go to My Nintendo tab, and it'll bring you to
The social menu or the menu menu?
The little circle menu down at the bottom right, near the bottom right. Little
Okay, I
circle with
see
the four
that.
squares in it, and then click the My Nintendo.
Oh, I see that. Okay.
And then there's an Animal Crossing special order, blah 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 thing, and then you redeem it like you were redeeming a reward through My Nintendo, which is kind of interesting. And then it'll give you, oh, it just gave it to me, download code. So then you'll go into your Switch eShop.
And okay, let's redeem this, I guess, and see what we get.
You're going to do the whole redeem and everything live on air?
I want to see what I get. I want to see what I get, too. Jared.
I'm going to do it too. This must be fascinating listening.
Well, I hope everyone is doing it with us in time so everyone can see exactly what they get. Is this a 0 or an 8? Oh, I guess it's an 8 or 0 because the O is...
You only get one option, bro. F. I guess I'll have to save and quit, huh? Oh, no, I can get out of here and go to the shop. Here we go. Also bought Doom 64. I'm pretty excited about that.
On the Switch?
Yeah, that came out today, too. Along with Doom Eternal on other platforms, that will be coming to the Switch, quote unquote, soon. Okay, eShop, enter code.
Special order ticket. Okay, got it. Close. Okay, something's downloading. Maybe I should close the software. Something's definitely happening. I don't know what. I have a download bar on my Animal Crossing thing.
Not recognized.
Oh, successfully downloaded content. Jared, you got to put the code in exactly as...
Oh, duh. That's not a 6. That's an R. You know how easy it is to confuse those two.
So then does this wind up in, like, the mailbox in Animal Crossing?
That's what Mikhail said, is that he got one of the presents in his mailbox, but it was just one of them. So he's thinking tomorrow he'll get more. Special order.
Well, do you need to go back to Pocket Camp and get new codes every day? Or do,
like... Oh, God, I hope not. I'm hoping it just sort of sends them to you, but I don't know. So your reward has been sent to the app. And then how do we get redeemable 0 times? So how do you get your Leaf tickets in this? Because it didn't give them to me yet.
All right. Well, so I claimed my shit and I'm back in the game and I got nothing. So
tickets.
I don't know. This was a bad advice, Jared.
What did I do?
Although I guess I don't know how long it takes to...
Did you back out of the whole game and then load it back up
again? Yeah, quit. Let it download its thing. Still not there.
Maybe you have to wait a day. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
Anyway, that's the process. as we did live on the show.
Yeah, so basically to recap, all you need to do is have Animal Crossing on your Switch. Quit Animal Crossing. Load back in. Do you need to link your Nook account? The Nook link? I did that anyway. So load up the Nintendo Switch app. Log in with that. Go back to Animal Crossing, hit the minus key, go to the Nook link thing, let it do its thing, link that up, download Animal Crossing Pocket Camp, download a 600 megabyte update, hit the menu on the bottom right corner, go to My Nintendo, scroll down to the Animal Crossing New Horizons event thing, click that, get the redemption code, go back to your Switch, load the eShop, go down to claim code, put the code in, quit Animal Crossing, download the DLC, reload it, and... presumably something happens. It's only like 25 steps. I don't know. Like,
you got all that? Yeah. You got all those steps?
Oh, God. Well, it's always crazy like when you like really list out what you have to do for like some of these Nintendo things.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if we actually get items or not. So anything else you want to talk about this week? I'm fading fast. I got to go.
I don't know. By next week, my sourdough would probably be good to go.
We need a sourdough update.
Yeah, apparently you can make all sorts of stuff with this, like everything from bread to like pizza dough, to even like waffles.
Mmm, that'd be good.
I don't know. I guess in the wastelands of coronavirus afflicted Tennessee, you gotta make your own bread now since
you'd be taking waffle orders over your ham radio.
That'd be the new future. Taking waffle orders over my ham radio and trading for bullets.
That is such a character that should be in like Fallout or something. Yeah. Like, came across the weird ham radio weirdo and making waffles for people.
Yeah, he only wants 10 9mm bullets for one waffle. I don't know. That seems like an okay deal.
I love that. Yeah, hopefully by next week's show too, we have more news on what the hell is going on with all this stuff. At least knowing more.
Just really hope, like, so this stay in place order in Illinois is like really fucking up me selling my house, which sucks, but
yeah, I know, I bet. You know. It's weird to think about, like, because we were talking about, you know, with the way hospitals are right now, we have a friend who's like very newly pregnant, so it's going to be months and months, but and then all our other friends that were pregnant have had their kids already. But if you were like having a baby like right now, like, what would that experience be like? You have to go to this hospital that's super overcrowded, plus potentially full of crazy sick people. Like, I'm guessing you have to call ahead of time and tell them, like, I'm pregnant and want to have my baby, and what do I do?
So here's something truly insane for you. The my Lindsay's like best friend is very pregnant. Yeah. She lives in Seattle and is... like, the hospital she's supposed to go to get fucking give birth to her baby is the hospital all those people first fucking died at.
Kidding.
And yeah, Brad Nicholson lives across the street from that hospital now.
Oh my God. Like, what do you do in that situation?
I don't know.
I mean, I would look into home birth something or another.
That's crazy. But then, like, the problem then is, like, if you, all right, so like home birth maybe, but like if you have any kind of issue then and need to like go to the emergency room, that seems even crazier because then you're in the emergency room with like all these other people that are like, oh, I can't breathe, I'm so sick.
Yeah, no, not a great situation. And not just having the kid though too, it's like all the appointments you have like immediately after, like I think you had a 2-day appointment and then like a week appointment and then like a 2-week appointment, like you go very frequently in those first days because there's a lot of potential for things to go wrong that they need to catch.
Well, so
they have to be like really on top of them. So are you going to be going to like half a dozen appointments over the next like week or two, even if you have the baby?
So do you have to, like when those early appointments, they actually like do stuff with the baby or they just like check them out and ask you questions and stuff?
It's pretty basic. I mean, as long as there's nothing like flagrant really, or, you know, very, very obviously wrong, but they do like, check the weight. The weight was a big thing with us because at first he wasn't gaining weight as much as he should have been. So it was good that we were made aware of that because we took steps to like address that and got his weight back up to where it was supposed to be. And it was always good. But had we not known that, there's no other way we would have known that he was underweight. He didn't look underweight. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was eating regularly and stuff like that. So catching things like that, I think, is important. And then they do, they check some other stuff. I can't even remember off the top of my head, but I mean, it's like stuff you do kind of need to be there in person for. So I don't know. I don't know how all that stuff works right now. Kind of crazy. And then the other crazy thing is if you got into like a severe accident and had to go to the ER for anything, right now is not time for that.
Yeah, no kidding. So, again, another good reason to stay home. I don't know. It is kind of cool. Like the one cool thing, if there's any cool things about this, is that like it seems like most, if not all, insurance companies have waived the copay for the teledoctor stuff.
Yeah.
Which that seems pretty cool. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, I hope there's more done with all that stuff. Not just because our situation kind of calls for it because our income got halved, but you know, I feel like they should really make an effort to make all this shit free. Go to the doctor, get checked out, get these tests for the virus. Like all that stuff needs to be free. Otherwise people aren't going to do it.
Yep.
Even if it's $20, like people won't do it. You know what I mean? You just need to make it all very easy and free so that everybody does it and participates. So you can actually find out where you're actually at.
Yeah. What's going to be fucking crazy is if this, this whole thing causes Republicans to champion single payer Medicare for all.
Well, I mean,
like, wouldn't that be the craziest outcome
for right now, more or less?
I know, it's like we're like trending towards like Medicare for all and some kind of universal basic income championed by the fucking right wing of the United States.
Yeah,
like
if that's what it takes. But it's crazy because they're like, you know, oh well, this time of this pandemic, it's an emergency, we got to do this sort of thing or whatever. And it's like, I don't think what most people realize is like people are in emergency like situations. That's their normal life.
Yeah.
Like needing healthcare and needing like basic income just to be stay alive.
Oh yeah. Dude, that's what irritated me.
That's an emergency for them.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what like of all this shit, like, you know, it's kind of interesting just being a bystander living in rural America and being like, I don't know, I don't see anyone all day, like I'm fine.
Yeah.
I watch like TV, I'm talking about like how it's like, oh, well, this is a crisis. Like, it all needs to be free because this is a crisis. And I'm just like thinking, like, and I tweeted something about this. I was like, dude, when I was sitting down with the fucking like finance lady, figuring out like how we were gonna pay for my dad's chemotherapy, like that was a crisis. Like,
that's a crisis.
And
to
it
you.
Seems yeah. insane that it's like, oh, well, that doesn't count. You pay for that.
Yeah.
But
yeah. It's pretty crazy.
But yeah, I could rant about this all night. So I think in the interest of not losing listeners because I'm angry about the world, we should drive this bus full of coughing people into a crowd of people that are not social distancing and won't stay home.
Sounds like a plan.
But not hurt them, just yell at them and tell them to get the fuck out of here.
So... thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's episode. Hopefully you are practicing your quarantining and your self-isolation business. Let's hopefully get through all this stuff.
If you can. Like, that's the crazy part. Like, a friend of mine works for... I don't actually really understand what he does beyond, like, works for some kind of, like, trucking shipping hub. Like, he works at the place that, like, the... trains unload into semis, I think, or something. Like, he drives a forklift. I don't know. Like, he's post pictures on Facebook all the time of like the insane loads he's got on his forklift and shit.
Yeah.
But they cannot take time off work. Like, they're allowing everyone like unlimited overtime and like all this other shit like that. And man, to me, like, that's the scary part. Is like, you have all these dudes that are like just busting ass like all day long, like not getting any rest and anything else. And like, what's going to happen in 2 weeks when like all those people are sick, you know, like,
it really, you find out the how strong the fabric of your society is during times like this.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just really interesting how like all these people like a month ago that no one valued and no one thought should be paid more and all this other stuff are like the critical backbone of getting this entire fucking planet through this problem, you know?
Yep. So, yeah, it's pretty wild.
I don't know. But,
well, anyway, on that happy note, thanks so much for listening to this week's episode. And hopefully... I forgot to mention that Touch Arcade is primarily supported through our listeners and readers and viewers. So if you like what we do, please check out patreon.com/TouchArcade and consider throwing a little support our way. Also, you can help us out by doing your Amazon shopping at TouchArcade.com/Amazon. Those two things are... crucial.
Practice your social distancing by ordering Amazon Pantry through TouchArcade.com/Amazon.
There you go. Yeah, do all of your Amazon self-isolation duties through our affiliate link, please. And with that, we will be back with another episode, assuming we all make it through this another week, of the Touch Arcade show next week.
See ya.